Chapter 6, Nero. From the moment I released Kendall from my arms, I couldn't stop thinking about him. I had played out of my mind knowing he was watching me, and that intensity followed me into my next practice.
"Keep up the hard work, Roman,"
Coach said as I puked in a bucket after wind sprints.
"Thanks, Coach."
Getting his acknowledgement felt good, but not as good as receiving one of Kendall's texts. I was trying not to text him too much. I didn't have much experience with this, but my gut told me I should play it cool. But what the hell did I know other than it was crazy that I was choosing to go through this alone? A year ago, my brother had gone through the exact same thing after meeting Quinn. I wasn't sure why I hadn't come out to him yet. It wasn't like he was going to judge me for it. Besides, after the display I put on when we got pizza, there was no way he didn't know I was head over heels for Kendall. "Could you drive Quinn to Snowtip Falls this weekend? We have a house we want you to take a look at," Cage texted. I stared at the text, not sure how to respond. I was happy to drive Quinn up, and it would give me an excuse to see Mama. That wasn't the problem. It was the part about the house. Their plan made sense. There was no use in Quinn paying to stay at Dr. Sonia's bed and breakfast if he could buy something as easily. And Lord knows it would be good to have a little privacy when I came to visit. You couldn't fart in the old place without everyone knowing about it. But as run down as it was, the old place was home. It was mine. Actually, it wasn't. We paid too much to rent the shithole. But I don't know. It was my home. It was somewhere no one could take from me, except the landlord who had threatened to kick us out a lot over the years. I didn't know why I gave a shit about that crap hole at all, but I did. And the thought of losing it made me feel uneasy. It's not that I didn't trust Quinn's hospitality. Hell, at this point, Quinn felt as much like family as Cage did. There was no way those two weren't getting married. Everyone knew that. I just didn't know if I was ready to be dependent on someone else. I had had to take care of myself for a long time. When you only have yourself to rely on, there's only one person who could let you down. Sitting on my bed in my dorm, the door opened.
"Hey, Cage said he texted you. Did you get it?"
Titus asked before tossing his backpack to the foot of his bed.
"I got it. I've been busy. I haven't gotten the chance to reply."
I could feel Titus staring at me as I stared at the ceiling, lost in thought.
"I can see that. Genius at work," he joked. "Did you hear that Dr. Sonia's organizing the festival?"
"A festival?"
"Yeah, the Moonshine Festival. Cage is helping. Dr. Sonia thinks it can bring in tourists. Considering the town's history of running moonshine, I think it's a good idea. And if there's anything people are willing to drive for, it's alcohol, right?"
"Maybe.
I don't know. I think it'll work."
I watched Titus as he grabbed a cup of noodles and heated it in the microwave.
"So what's up with you and Lou?"
"What do you mean?" he asked casually.
"I mean, do you like him, or?"
"Of course I like him. We're friends."
"That's not what I mean.
What I'm saying is that you two spend a lot of time together. Is there a reason for that?" Titus turned to me as if caught in a lie.
"What reason do you need more than we're friends?
He's a fun guy. I don't have to tell you that."
"I guess not. So, what's the deal with you and Kendall?"
I looked at Titus, not having expected the question. It was clear why he had asked it, though. Titus was here on Sunday. It wasn't like I was hiding the way I felt about Kendall. "We're friends and he's a fun guy. You've met him. I don't have to tell you that." Titus stared at me and then barked a laugh. He knew what I was saying. If he wasn't going to be truthful with me about the way he felt about Lou, why should I share my feelings for Kendall?
"Right," Titus conceded. "Don't forget to text your brother back," he reminded me before collecting his soup and leaving the room.
I took out my phone and typed,
"Sure."
"Great. I'll see you then," he immediately replied. I still wasn't sure about them getting a house, but I started to realize that there were other things I had to talk to him about. I had already put it off too long. Picking up Quinn after getting back from my away game, we made the 2-hour trek home. He and I were never that chatty when we drove together, but he was quieter than usual.
"Are you coming by our place, or should I drop you at Dr. Sonia's?"
I asked, breaking the silence.
"Cage said we should meet at your place. I wanted to say hi to your mom. We'll head to Dr. Sonia's later."
I paused, remembering something. "By the way, have you made any progress on that thing you were looking into?"
"You mean about who Yoren Cage's father is?"
"Yeah."
Cage had been kidnapped from the hospital as a baby and had spent his life living with the guy who snatched him, thinking his mother had died in childbirth. But then Cage met Quinn. In a few weeks, Quinn had figured out that the man who raised him wasn't Cage's biological father, which hospital Cage was born in, and had found us. Quinn was able to figure out the two of us were brothers based on nothing. The guy was super smart. And since my mother never told me who my father is, who, it turns out, is also Cage's father, I asked Quinn to look into it. I knew he had been working on it, but he hadn't given me an update in a while.
What I've learned is that it probably isn't anyone in town.
Seriously?
Yeah, why? Did you suspect someone?
I thought so.
Well, I could be wrong, but I've been talking to your mother about it. She's been doing a lot better lately, and she certainly isn't willing to say much. But she gave me the impression that she moved to town after she got pregnant with you. I'm thinking that if it was someone in Snowtip Falls, she would have been living here before she got pregnant with Cage.
So you're not basing it on any of your science-y stuff?
I can't just ask every guy in town to take a paternity test.
Not every guy. And you didn't need a test to know I was Cage's brother.
That's different. You guys have the same rare genetic traits. Besides, I've been keeping my eyes open for that. So far, your mother is the only one I've found who has them.
So, again, it's down to getting my mother to spill the beans and she's not talking.
I'm afraid she's not. And maybe that's a good thing.
Why would my growing up not knowing who my dad is be a good thing? At least Cage had that guy. He might have been a piece of shit for doing what he did, but he was there. Mama was all I had. When she lost her marbles, I had no one. How could that be better? Quinn stayed quiet for a while before answering.
Nero, I think there's something going on that you might not want to know about. After talking to your mother, I'm starting to think that it might be better left in the past.
What do you mean? Do you know something you aren't saying?
No, I've told you everything I know. But have you ever wondered what set your mother on her downward spiral?
Yeah, of course. It was when Cage was snatched and the hospital lied and said that he had died. She knew it wasn't true.
That's what she says, and that's possible. But you said she didn't get bad until you were much older. So how was she able to hold it together for so long? And what finally sent her over the edge?
It wasn't like one thing. It was gradual. I watched it.
Yeah, but maybe you weren't watching what you thought you were. Maybe there was something else going on.
So you're saying something triggered her checking out on things?
That's my guess. And my other guess is that whatever it is, you may not want to know.
I thought about that for a while. You tell Cage any of this?
Cage hasn't talked about it.
So you're only going to bring it up if he asks?
Probably.
Which is why I had to ask you about it.
Yeah,
Quinn said with a serious look on his face. Don't you think Cage would want to know this?
Maybe. Maybe not. He's found you and a mother after living his life without a family. For him, that's enough, at least for now.
Are you saying that finding Cage and having a brother should be enough for me?
I'm not suggesting anything, but I'll ask you. Isn't your life pretty good right now?
It's not bad, I admitted.
Then why would you want to kick the hornet's nest?
I looked at Quinn and fell into silence. The guy was smart and had made some good points. But growing up as he did with two dads, he couldn't imagine what it was like growing up without one. He meant well with his advice, but to answer his question, sometimes you kick the hornet's nest because it's in the way of you living your life. It was clear that Quinn wasn't going any further with his investigation. That left me where I was when I started. My mother was still the only person who had the answers, and she wasn't talking. What was she hiding? And could it be something I didn't want to know? I continued to think about it as we entered town and headed towards the trailer park. The closer we got, the more my thoughts shifted to the other thing I had to talk about this weekend. My jaw clenched as it whipped through my mind. I didn't know if I was ready to discuss this, but Cage and Quinn's lives were moving forward. It was time that mine did too. Pulling up to my place, I saw Cage's truck parked out front. Going inside, we found him and Mama on the couch in front of the TV. When she didn't turn around to look, I stared at my mother. What was she keeping from me? What could be so bad about my birth? And after a lifetime of asking, how could I get her to tell me now? Dinner's ready if you're hungry, Cage said, turning to greet his boyfriend with a kiss. Sitting around the kitchen table, for the first time, I realized how small it was. With four people, the plates could barely fit at the same time. As the smallest person, Quinn was tucked in the corner. There was no wonder he was willing to buy a house. Dealing with all of this had to be a nightmare for him. "When are you planning on showing me the place?" I asked Cage. Cage looked at Quinn and Mama. That was when I realized that he might not have told our mother yet.
"It's a nice house,"
Mama said, to my surprise. "Oh, so I'm the only one who hasn't seen it?" "You haven't been around," Cage explained. "That's because I have games on Saturday and classes during the week." "We know. We're not saying anything about it. Just, it's why you haven't seen it." I looked at the three people in front of me. Everyone's lives were moving forward, and they were doing it without me. "So, when am I going to see it?" "Tomorrow morning. Miss Roberts said she can open it up at 9. "Why so early? It's a Sunday. Don't you people sleep in anymore?" "She said she has to be at the salon by 10 for appointments." "People get their hair done on a Sunday?" I asked. "Haven't lived here my whole life and never realizing it." "Church, bingo, get-togethers. It makes sense," Cage explained. "I guess." I looked at the three people I cared most about, wondering if this was the time. It wasn't. I was going to let Cage and Quinn show me their house first. That was the better plan. After Cage and Quinn took care of my dishes, they headed off to Quinn's bed and breakfast. I joined Mama on the couch. Her mental state had been night and day since Cage had entered our lives. It made me wonder if her life would have been better if I was the one who had been snatched instead of my perfect older brother. "You good, Mama?" I asked, putting my hand on hers.
"I've been feeling good, son. In fact, I've been meaning to tell you. I've been thinking about looking for a job."
Her words stunned me speechless. 7 years ago, it was her unwillingness to hold a job that made me have to support us. I was a kid doing things that no kid should have to do. Now she was telling me that she was ready to get back to work? What the hell was going on? "What inspired this, Mama?"
"I've been feeling better. Having Cage back has made all the difference in the world. Don't you love having your brother back?"
"I do. He's good for you, Mama."
"He's good for all of us."
"Yeah, he is," I said, wondering if her improvement had also to do with her secret. One thing became clear as I lay awake that night. No matter what had sent her spiraling years ago or what had brought her back, my mama no longer needed me. No one did. I could probably take off tomorrow without them noticing I was gone. That was a tough pill to swallow, but it was true. Despite how tired my body was from the hits I had taken during Saturday's game, I didn't fall asleep until after 4 a.m. That meant that I wasn't awake by 9. It was a phone call at 9:15 that woke me. I didn't need to ask why Cage was calling, so I just picked up and said, "I'm leaving now. Where am I going?" "I texted you the address." I looked at my screen. "Got it. Be there in 10. I recognized the address. Being a small town, there weren't many really nice neighborhoods. The house I was headed to was in one of them. The house closest to it was owned by Glenn, who owned the local general store, and his husband, Dr. Tom, the town's only doctor. That meant that Quinn's house had to be nice. Pulling up to it, I turned out to be right. The place was two-story with a huge veranda and an equally large yard. The ceiling of the veranda was shiny cedar, as were the floors in the giant kitchen and dining room. Actually, there were two dining rooms, as well as two living rooms, even though Quinn called one a family room. There was also a three-car garage. On top of that, there was marble and chandeliers everywhere. The bathroom attached to the master bedroom had a clawfoot tub in it, and where there weren't the nicest hardwood floors I had ever seen, there was brand new carpet. This had to be the most incredible house I had ever been in. I had thought Dr. Tom's house was fancy, but there was no comparison. This place had to cost $500,000. The rent for our mobile home was $300 a month. "You can just buy this place?" I asked Quinn.
"I mean, my parents will help me out with the down payment, but I've been working for my father this semester."
"While taking classes?"
"Yeah, and the investments I've identified for the company have paid off. I'm lucky."
"Must be nice," I told him, still floored by what I was seeing. "Yeah, Nero, nice for us because we're the ones who are going to get to live here," Cage said, giving me a look as he grabbed Quinn and kissed his head. "Yeah," I said half-heartedly. "Listen, there's something I've been meaning to talk to you guys about." Cage let go of his boyfriend and both moved in front of me. "What's up?" Cage asked. "So, you guys know that I've been playing well." "We know. Your game last Saturday was insane." "Yeah. Yesterday wasn't that good, but it was close," I informed him. "That's fantastic. I'm proud of you, bro."
"Yeah, me too,"
Quinn said enthusiastically.
"Thanks. But you know how after someone has a few good games, people start talking about you going pro?"
Cage chuckled. "I remember it well. That started happening to me."
"Yeah?"
"Yeah.
And I'm considering it."
"You mean this year?" Cage asked, surprised.
"Why not? I'll be 21 by draft time.
That's the same age as most people going into the draft."
Cage looked concerned.
"You get that running backs aren't what NFL teams are looking for right now, right? If you get an injury, you could fall far."
"I get all that. But the iron's hot now. I may as well use it."
"That's true," Cage said, not as excited for me as I'd hoped he would be.
"And I get that you had the chance to go number one in the draft, but chose us instead."
"Hey, I didn't go pro because I was injured. You don't have to bullshit me. I know you were feeling better in time to make it. And even if it wasn't last year's draft, you could have made it this year. But I didn't want that."
"Yeah, you wanted to be with us."
"I did.
And now I'm choosing to go pro instead of doing what you did," I said, lowering my head.
Cage put his arm around me and squeezed my shoulder.
"Nero, I made the decision that was best for me. I needed this. What's more, I wanted this. But because I chose this for myself doesn't mean you have to. The world is big. You should explore it. I can hold down the fort. I'm here so you don't have to be," Cage said with a smile. "You hear me?"
I felt a tear on my cheek that I quickly wiped away.
"I hear you."
"Good."
Cage let me go and rejoined Quinn. I watched them get comfortable in each other's arms.
"There's probably something else I should tell you now that we're talking about stuff."
"What's that?" my brother asked.
I think I want what you have."
Cage twisted his head, confused.
"What I have? You know, Quinn," I said vulnerably.
"Bro, Quinn's taken," he said with a smile.
"You know what I mean."
"Actually, I don't."
"Come on," I said, not wanting to explain myself.
"You need to say the words," Cage told me, no longer hiding what he knew.
My chest hurt looking at the two Karen faces staring back. Taking a deep breath, I gathered myself. This was it. I was going to say it out loud.
"I like guys. I think I've always liked guys. I might like girls too, but it doesn't feel the same with them. It never has. And it's possible I found a guy I really like."
"Kendall?" Cage offered.
"Yeah. Was it that obvious?"
"I wouldn't call it obvi-"
"Yes," Quinn said, cutting him off. "We could all see it. And I like him. He could be good for you."
"You think so?" I asked, looking for encouragement.
"Yes. He has a way about him. He's very empathetic."
"He wasn't very empathetic when he found out I was a football player."
"What happened?"
Quinn asked, stepping out of Cage's arms. "He basically told me to go fuck myself. I mean, he didn't use those words, but he may as well have."
"That surprises me. Did he say why?"
"I asked him and he wouldn't talk about it."
"Maybe you should ask him again," Cage suggested.
"Some people need a little encouragement to talk about things,"
Quinn added.
Cage looked at Quinn. "Says the guy with no filter."
"Yes, there were things about me that I wouldn't have told you if it wasn't for Lou."
"So I owe all my happiness to Lou?"
"I'm hoping I can take a little credit for it too,"
Quinn said with a smile.
"Baby, I give you credit for making my life everything I've ever dreamed of. I can honestly say that I wouldn't be the man I am or have anything I do without you."
"Oh,"
Quinn said, tilting his head back and kissing his love.
"Let's take the house. I want to live here with you, Cage Rucker."
Cage looked up at me.
"What do you say? Should we take the house?"
I looked at the couple I wanted to be.
"You should take it," I said with a heavy heart. I knew I shouldn't think this way, but it felt like the end of everything I had loved. Things were changing. There was no space left for me. I had to make things work with Kendall. If I didn't, I was going to be left with nothing. Miss Roberts, the realtor, was as excited as Cage and Quinn were that they were going to take the place. She promised to draw up the paperwork saying that we would be able to move in about a week. Quinn thought it was fast. I had no clue about these things. Deciding to spend the day with them, I tagged along when they headed back to Dr. Sonia's bed and breakfast. I had only been there once before, and I hadn't passed the doorway. This place was very nice as well. It was starting to feel like everyone had more than I did. It wasn't the first time I had thought that, but seeing how other people lived, it had never been clearer.
"Oh, good. You brought help,"
Dr. Sonia said with her usual high energy.
"I was needing a few extra hands, and here you are,"
she said, squeezing my arms in delight. Dr. Sonia put us all to work. Her son walked downstairs, saw us, and immediately headed to the door. "How are you getting out of helping?" I asked, recognizing him from high school. Callie was a freshman when I was a senior. He was also second string on the football team. I remembered him not being much for talking. That hadn't seemed to change. Ignoring my question, he said, "You just started at East Tennessee, right?" "Yeah. You thinking about going?" He looked back at Quinn.
"I was thinking about it."
"You're a senior, right?"
"Yeah."
"You still a kicker?" "He made a 60-yard field goal in the game last week," Cage said proudly. "Jesus, that's insane. You could be a walk-on as a freshman with a foot like that." "He could get a D1 scholarship with a foot like that," Cage confirmed. "East Tennessee would be lucky to get him." Callie turned red as we talked. "Well, if you need me to put in a word with the coach, let me know," I told him.
"Mr. Rucker said he would take care of it for me."
"Mr. Rucker?" I asked, confused. "Me," Cage said, annoyed. I laughed. "Right, Mr. Rucker. Well, I'm sure you're in good hands. He got me my scholarship. And now they're lucky they have you. Don't screw things up. I need my credibility intact for this one," Cage joked. "Oh shit, you're screwed," I said, turning to Callie. Callie looked at Cage, scared. "He's kidding. Nero, tell him you're kidding." "I'm kidding. Sort of." Callie looked at me, not sure what to think.
"Callie, do I hear you in there?"
Callie looked toward the kitchen, then quickly slipped out the door. Dr. Sonia entered the room and looked around. "You just missed him," I told her. "He mentioned something about football. It was technically true." Dr. Sonia looked at Cage. Cage shrugged.
"Well, he left more fun for us," she concluded with a smile.
For the most part, the doctor had us making signs. They were on large placards and required a lot of filling in. After we were all high on the marker fumes, she fed us and let us escape her festival organizing clutches. Free, the three of us did a hike. There wasn't a lot to do in Snowtip Falls, but the hiking trails were world class. The town got its name from what the waterfalls looked like in the winter. The rest of the time, the hikes were just a tree-lined miracle of nature. It was worth the trip. As Cage and Quinn chatted, I thought about what was going on between me and Kendall. I would love to invite him up and show him all this. He seemed more like a city boy, but so was Quinn before coming here. Now, he hiked through the woods like he grew up here. As soon as I thought it, Quinn tripped on a root and got a face full of dirt. "You okay?" I asked, knowing he was.
"Yeah, I'm fine. I just didn't see the route."
"That's because you're too busy talking," I said, teasing him. "It's a hike, not a chat-a-thon. Chill out, Nero," Cage said, defending his man. I could respect that. Because I did, I let it go. But the two of them did a fair bit less talking after that. I didn't actually mind their endless chatting. The only thing that got to me was that I didn't have Kendall here to do the same. Thinking to him again, I pulled out my phone to see if he had texted. "Checking for a message from Kendall?" Cage asked teasingly. "Chill out, Cage," I told him. Not finding one, I stuffed my phone back in my pocket. After a moment of silence, Cage spoke again, this time with more empathy. "He'll text. I saw the way he was looking at you after the game. He's into you too." I said, "Chill out, Cage." Despite my reaction, I appreciated what he said. Every time Kendall took an extended time to reply, I wondered if things between us were over. He had already told me to go to hell once. Should I expect him to do it again? I had to figure out the thing he had against football players. He was helping me deal with my shit. As a football player, maybe there was something I could do to help him. Not return into Dr. Sonia's labor camp with my siblings. I headed home and waited for Cage to deliver Quinn. Driving back, Quinn and I talked about Kendall. He suggested that we invite him to our next game night. It wasn't a bad idea, but I felt like I needed alone time with him before we did. "When are we doing our next session?" I texted him when he didn't reply to what I thought was a funny meme.
"If you want, we can talk over lunch tomorrow,"
What about over dinner at Commons? I asked, referring to the cafeteria connected to the popular study space. It was a little more intimate. After our rapid-fire exchange, Kendall didn't respond for an hour. When he did, he wrote, "Sure. What time?" I couldn't have been happier. Seeing him was all I thought about for the rest of the night. Going extra hard in practice to burn off my excess energy, I was exhausted by the time dinner rolled around. I could barely lift my arms.
"What's up with you?"
Kendall asked me after looking me up and down. "Hard practice."
"Oh, so what have you been up to?"
I wanted to say that he would have known if he had replied to my text, but I didn't. I took Quinn home on Saturday. He and Cage wanted to show me the house they're buying together.
"They're buying a house? How is it?"
"It's the nicest house I've ever been in."
"Really? Wow."
"I could show you at some point. The realtor said they could move in a week."
"Oh, yeah,"
Kendall said unenthusiastically. "Okay, I gotta know. What is it that you have against football players?"
"I don't have anything against them,"
says the guy who told me to eat shit and die as soon as I mentioned that I was one.
"I didn't tell you to eat shit and die."
"You may as well have." I could tell that was what you were thinking. Kendall didn't reply. "If this is gonna work, you know, whatever this is that we're doing here, you're gonna have to let me in a little as well. I can't be the only one spilling my guts out."
"That's not the way therapy works,"
Kendall insisted. "Well, this ain't therapy. If that's what this was, I wouldn't have agreed to do it," I said, meaning it. I could tell he knew I was being serious. He was slow to reply.
"Fair enough. I guess I have a small chip on my shoulder when it comes to football players."
"Small?"
"Okay, fine. I have a giant boulder. I have the Grand Canyon on my shoulder. You happy?"
"Actually, no. Why do you have such a big problem with them?" I asked a little heartbroken.
"Because they made my life hell. To this day, I still wake up drowning in sweat after dreaming about what happened to me."
"What happened to you?"
"Just a lot of little things. Walking in the halls, they would push me or knock my books out of my hand. They would say things about me, liking guys. They would de-pants me."
"They would pull down your pants?"
"Yeah, a lot. And I never knew when it would happen. I could be walking to the class or talking to someone, and one of them would grab my pants, and there it went. They didn't even care about what they pulled down. Once I was in the doorway about to enter class, and someone yanked everything down. I ended up standing there with my dick out. I mean, not too many people saw, but it was still humiliating, you know? So, yeah, I have a problem with football players. Get it now?"
Listening to Kendall tell me what happened, my face got so hot it felt like it was on fire. I was blackout mad. The rage that bubbled in me was beyond anything I thought I could control. Yet I had to have looked as calm as hell because he asked me if I had hurt him. "I heard you. Would you like an apology?"
"You don't have to apologize,"
Kendall said, looking down. "Not from me, from them."
"I'm not going to get an apology from them."
"I didn't ask if you were going to get one. I asked if you wanted one," I said, as prickles rippled under my skin.
"I mean, I guess."
"Then let's get you one."
"What?
Do you know where any of them live?"
"I mean, I know where all of them live. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I didn't."
I closed my eyes, absorbing what he said. He couldn't sleep at night if he didn't know where they were. That was insane. There was no way in hell I was going to let them get away with doing that to him. There was no way. "Then we're going." I got up, trying to be as calm as I could. Kendall didn't move. I looked back at him.
"I can't tell if you're serious or not. I mean, you look serious, deadly serious, but..."
He looked at me again.
"You know it's a 3-hour drive to Nashville, right?"
2 hours and 45 minutes, I know," I told him.
"Wait, how do you know that?"
"Kendall, are you coming with me or not? Because one way or another, I'm going to get you that apology. But I would prefer you be there to hear it."
"I don't know."
"Kendall, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. Let's go." As soon as I said it, a smile crept across his face.
"Okay,"
he agreed. Then, without another word, he followed me to my truck and we were off. Navigating to the highway, neither of us spoke. Broiling, I didn't want to speak. I felt like I did when I was driving to one of my fights at the club. I would let everything that had pissed me off in life float to the surface, and I would sit with it. By the time I arrived, I would be ready to rip people's heads off. That's what I felt now. "Where?" I asked Kendall when the highway offered an off-ramp.
"Stay on 40,
he replied until we approached the Nashville city limits.
Get off here, he said, directing me onto 155, and then into a neighborhood called Porter Heights.
Kendall's eyes bounced from house to house. It was a nice neighborhood. There were a lot of two-story brick homes on large properties. It had long ago become dark, so I couldn't tell much else about the place. But I was ready for whatever was going to happen next.
What's his name? I asked Kendall, who was now crackling with anticipation.
Evan Carter,
he said, scanning every home as we slowly drove around.
There, park there.
We pulled up in front of one of the few one-story homes and parked across the street from it. Kendall stared at it wide-eyed.
He lives with his father. His father's a piece of shit, too. But his father's truck isn't there. That means that Evan is the only one home.
I looked at the barely lit house. There was a small light on in the living room and a flickering light in one of the bedrooms. I immediately had a plan. I never thought that my messed up childhood would ever come in handy, but it was about to. Follow me and be casual, I told Kendall before getting out of my truck and walking to the house. I was surprised to see how willing Kendall was to go along with things. I was calm because of how many times I had done this. I didn't know what was fueling Kendall. Maybe it was vengeance. I would understand that.
You gonna break down the door?
He whispered as we approached. No, there's a better way. Walking up the driveway, whose only light was from nearby homes, I looked around to see if anyone was watching, and then stepped onto the lawn and circled the house. There weren't many trees, so anyone staring out the window would see us. That wasn't a problem, as long as we were quick.
Don't touch anything.
Nothing, I whispered. I looked back to get his confirmation. He looked like he was about to throw up. I had no idea what was going through his mind. I partially expected him to call it off. He didn't. He wanted this as much as I wanted to do this for him. Approaching the back door and examining it, I looked at Kendall one last time. Are you sure this is the right place?
I'm sure,
he replied, shaking. Taking out the gloves I kept in the truck and had stuffed in my pocket, I also pulled out my Jimmy. It looked like something you would use to smooth paint or scrape the ice off your windshield, but it was much better at prying open locked doors. Dogs? I asked, feeling the tumble slide back.
I don't think so. He never had one.
When the latch became free and all that was left to enter the darkness, I turned to Kendall one last time. Ready? He paused, forcing a shallow breath. He shook his head. This was it. Pushing open the door, I felt like I did every time I stepped onto the field. Every one of my senses was alert. My heartbeats echoed in my ears. The place was dimly lit and cluttered. Kendall was right. A woman didn't live here. And following the smell of pot, I crossed the living room to the bedroom door with the light pouring out from under it. Indicating for Kendall to hold back, I stared at the closed door, then put my ear on it. I couldn't hear anything. What was he doing in there? It would make all of the difference. Had he heard us enter? Was he staring at the door waiting for us with a gun? There was only one way to find out. Nothing beat the element of surprise. So, quietly grabbing the knob and crouching ready to pounce, I turned it, burst in, and then froze at what I saw. He wasn't getting high playing a video game. He was watching porn with headphones on and his hard dick in his hand. I couldn't have planned it better if I tried. Seeing the movement in his periphery, he turned to find me. Stunned, he stopped jerking. What the fuck are you? Was all he said before I rushed him, grabbed his t-shirt, and shook him like a rag doll. He couldn't figure out what was going on. Letting go of his cock, the first thing he tried to do was pull his pants up. I found that hilarious. Rewarding his stupidity, I slapped him around, made sure to hit him hard. Though I'm sure it wasn't nearly as hard as Kendall had gotten over the years. What the fuck, man? What the fuck? He babbled, about to shit himself. Sure that he was properly terrified, I stopped and pulled his face inches from mine. You piece of shit. You're gonna pay for what you did, I growled, wanting to crush his skull like a melon. Who are you? I don't know you, man. You got the wrong person. This was it. I had his attention. It was time. Come in, I said loud enough for Kendall to hear. I had to give Kendall credit. When he stepped into the doorway, he entered like he wasn't scared shitless, which he had to be. Everything about him had told me that he wouldn't be able to do this. Turned out I was wrong. Kendall, what are you doing here? He asked, confused.
Don't talk to me like we're friends, you piece of shit,
Kendall demanded. I was so proud of him.
What are you talking about? We are friends.
Tell him you know me. We're friends,
Evan insisted.
Friends? You think we're friends? You made my life hell for years. For years. You and your goon squad made me feel like crap every day of my life. The things you did to me.
This guy's belief that everything was going to be all right slowly faded. Things were beginning to click for him. I was happy about that, because that was going to make what I had to do next a lot easier.
What I did to you? They were just jokes. We were just having a little fun. I swear,
Evan said as his eyes bounced between the both of us.
Constantly hitting me on the back of my head when you would walk by, bumping me into lockers, sticking my head in a toilet,
Kendall said with building anger.
You came to school wearing makeup. What'd you think we were going to do?
There was shit in the toilet. You pushed my face into a toilet full of shit, and then you laughed about it.
It was a joke.
Already on the edge, I couldn't hear anymore. I lost it. Turning him to face me, I made sure he was looking into my eyes before I pulled back my fist and let it fly. He didn't try to stop me, or he didn't think to. And feeling the rage flow out of me, I beat him until my fists hurt. I was out of breath when I let him go. He dropped onto the bed, battered. I had made a mess of him, but it wasn't anything he wouldn't recover from. I knew how far to take things. I'd seen worse in the ring. Now, I said between pants, you're gonna apologize.
I'm sorry,
he said, looking at me like he was about to cry. Not to me, you stupid piece of shit, to him. He was scared to take his eyes off of me, but eventually he looked at Kendall in the eyes.
I'm sorry,
he mumbled. I didn't hear you, I growled.
I'm sorry, Kendall.
For what? I asked.
For making your life hell. For being an asshole to you. For everything. I'm sorry for everything. I'm sorry, man. I'm just sorry,
he said before bursting into tears. I backed off of the asshole, deciding that he got the point. I looked back at Kendall. I was amazed that nothing he saw had fazed him. The man was stone cold. What do you think? Do you think he meant it? Or should I beat the crap out of him some more?
I'm in it. I swear I'm in it.
That's good enough,
Kendall said, relenting. Are you sure? Because I don't mind.
No, please don't. Please don't,
Evan begged.
No, I think I'm good.
Well, if you change your mind, just let me know. I'll come back and we can do this to him again. I turned to the guy in the bed. Do you hear me? I could come back here at any moment for any reason, and you'll never be able to see me coming. Maybe I'll wait till you're asleep. Maybe I'll snatch you when you're going to your dealer. Or maybe I'll send someone else. It might be anyone around you. It could be any time. And if you tell anyone who did this to you or why, fuck, I said with a laugh. This is going to be our little secret, you hear me?
I hear you. Our little secret.
Good boy, I said, tapping him on the cheek. When he flinched, I knew my job was complete. After you, I told Kendall, directing him out. I stepped back and looked at the guy on the bed one last time. And pull up your pants. Your dick is out. I looked down at it and laughed. That was when I exited, closed the door behind me, and then ran through the living room. Let's go, I said, dropping my casual attitude. Hearing my urgency, Kendall jogged behind me. Leaving through the front door, we hurried across the road to my truck, got in, and pulled off. Neither of us said a word for miles. As much of a badass as Kendall was being, I knew it was an act. He wasn't that type of guy. He had probably never seen so much violence in his life. I knew what I had done was wrong. Not for what I did to the waste of space I had beat the shit out of, but for what I did to Kendall. He would never be able to unsee what I did, and he was never going to be able to look at me the same again. I'm sorry. As soon as I said it, Kendall burst into tears. With his face buried in his hands, he sobbed. I had really fucked up. Like always, I had taken things too far. I had lost control and had made everything 10 times worse. Listen, you shouldn't have had to see that. I lost control. It's just that when you told me what he did to you, I got so mad. That was when Kendall sat up, crawled on top of me, and kissed me. My cheek, my chin, my lips. I was still driving. I wasn't sure what to do. Wait, I'm going to pull over. That didn't stop him. Even as I maneuvered to the side of the freeway, he was turning my face towards his. I could barely see as I brought the truck to a stop, and once I did,
I pulled back the emergency brake and then did what I had been dreaming of doing from the moment I saw him. Grabbing the back of his head, I pulled him onto my lap and pressed my lips against his. Parting them, I slipped my tongue in. My mind raced. In search of his tongue, I found it. They touched each other and danced. It was like nothing I had ever experienced. I was in heaven. Pushing my fingers through his hair, I couldn't get enough of him. I wanted to be part of him. I wanted to feel his skin on my fingertips. So sliding my free hand up his shirt, I traced the lines of his back. Touching him made me hard. With him sitting on my crotch, he felt it. Grinding his crotch into my stomach, I felt his cock. He was hard too. I sunk my fingertips into his back when I realized it. I wanted him. I was ready to take him. And when he reached beside me and reclaimed my seat, I knew I was about to have him. Pulling away from my lips, he kissed the bottom of my chin and my neck. Tilting my head back, I gave him room. Nipping my neck and sucking on my Adam's apple, he pulled up my t-shirt. It was enough for him to transfer from the dip of my neck into my bare chest. He was slowly working his way down my body. And when he reached down and grabbed my cock, I returned my hand to the back of his head. I made clear that I wanted it, if he did. Kissing and sucking further down my body, he unbuttoned my jeans. This was it. His lips were on my belly button, and his hands were about to reach into my pants and pull out my throbbing cock when he slowed to a stop. "What's wrong?" I asked, going out of my mind, waiting for him to continue. He didn't speak. "What's wrong?" I insisted. "Maybe I shouldn't," he said, giving me no further explanation. That was about to be the end of it. That was going to be all we did until I cupped the back of his head, pulled his lips back to mine, kissed him, and then whispered, "Maybe I should." Wrapping my arms around him, I spun him like I was running with the football. Working the cramped space, I placed him under me and high on the chair. Pulling up his shirt, I quickly went to work. His chest was as smooth as I had imagined it. He had muscles, but they were less defined. I liked everything about him. Kissing his body, I took his nipple between my teeth. Applying pressure, he groaned. Wrapping my large hands around his narrow hips, I shifted him higher on the seat. I was a big guy and couldn't go much lower. At the same time, there was something else I wanted in my mouth. And when my chin touched his waist, I glided my hand over his clothed hard cock and went to work. Unbuttoning and unzipping, I wiped my face across his bulge. This was Kendall I was doing it to. I couldn't believe it. He had to be the sexiest guy to ever live, and I had him. Taking a deep breath, I inhaled his scent. There was a hint of musk. It drove me wild. Not able to resist any longer, I pulled his pants down and revealed his shorts. I could see the outline of him clearly. Overall, he was a small guy. His cock was not. I hadn't seen this coming. Unwrapping my surprise and popping it out, I traced the lines of him with the tip of my nose. That was before I touched the ridge of his head with the tip of my tongue. That made him flinch. I liked seeing that so much that I did it again. Taking hold of his thick manhood, I glided around him, kissing every part of him. His body danced under my caress. Wagging my tongue up and down the base of his head, he lost his breath. So when I pushed his cock into my mouth, all he could do was grip whatever was around him and enjoy. Massaging his balls, I did what I had thought about doing for so long. This wasn't just my first time doing this to Kendall. It was my first time sucking anyone off. I loved it. I loved having another guy in me. I loved having control of his most sensitive part. And because it was Kendall, it was that much better. I would have stayed down there all night if Kendall's smooth body didn't stiffen into a plank and then explode into my mouth. I allowed it to fill me and then swallowed it all. More than that, I sucked him dry. I couldn't get enough of him. I would have continued sucking him if he hadn't placed his hand on my head asking me to stop. It took everything in me to pull away, but I did. Letting go but not wanting to leave him, I climbed up his body and held him. I never imagined being with a guy could feel this good. Holding Kendall, I knew I was home. I didn't want to be anywhere else but right here. I would have laid with him like that forever if he didn't then whisper in my ear.